Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I know that a lot of you send me the emails where it's the forward, and I get a lot of them because there's a lot of you. And some of them are great, the profound things, you know, you save them because you think, oh, gosh, anybody could say that. And then the funny ones and the things kids say and all that. Well, I got one last week. It was called Christian One-Liners. I got it from Wayne Hobson, who isn't here today, so he isn't going to appreciate this. I'll have to tell him to listen to it. You can listen to the sermons on the website. So I was reading through them, and you know, some of them make you go, oh, they're so profound, and others make you smile, and some make you laugh, and some make you wince. And I want to read some of the ones that Wayne sent me to you. Okay. Mixture of them. We don't change the message changes us. One person who agrees with that one. A lot of church members singing Standing on the Promises are just sitting on the premises. God doesn't call the qualified, God qualifies the call. God promises a safe landing, not a calm passage. This is for all the veterans. Don't give God instructions, just report for duty. Here's one of my favorite. Quit griping about your church. If it was perfect, you couldn't belong. That goes for me too. I mean, you know. Oh, here's a good one. If a church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. I'd go for that, always. Many folks want to serve God, but only as advisors. This one's absolutely true. It is easier to preach 10 sermons than it is to live one. Although when I'm trying to write it each week, it doesn't feel that way. And here's my personal favorite. Just going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. I'm sorry, I laugh every time I read it. See, I know this is truth because every day I stand in the garage. I mean, my job, literally, is to stand in the garage. And some days I don't think I'm any closer to being a car than I was when I started this whole journey. When someone tells Maya Angelou that they're a Christian, she responds, "Already?" Ah. See, one-liners are amazing. They have so much power. They sum up layers and layers of thought. And one little quip, you get all kinds of nuance, and it says a whole bunch of things. And they do make us laugh, and they can make us wince. Because they strike at the heart of matters. I collect one-liners. I have a whole folder called quotes. Because they really do speak to us. They reflect what's going on in our culture. They reflect what's going on in our corporate lives and our corporate thought. And they reflect what's going on in our own personal lives too. Their potential to get through to us is their ability to say so much in so few words. I grew up loving some of the old one-liners, and I still use them, and sometimes I use them around young people, and they just gloss over because they haven't heard them. They don't know what it means to carry coals to Newcastle. But my mother used to say, "Well, Betty Jo, that's like carrying coals to Newcastle, and if you don't know what that means, you have to look it up. Or you can keep doing that until the cows come home. Or that's the cat's pajamas." There's all these old sayings that we grew up with, and the culture has them now, and they're just one-liners that help sum up a whole layer and layer of thought. But there's some one-liners that I'm guessing many of you do know, and some of them you won't like, and some of them you will, but I'm pretty sure you know most of these. A penny saved is a penny earned. That's a good one. How about money talks? Mm-hmm. Time is money. For I don't care too much for money, for... Thank you. Some of us still know the Beatles songs. Put your money where your mouth is. How about this one? Money is the root of all evil. And here we go from the sage and wise words of Family Guy. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, the only color that really matters is green. One-liners. They somehow reflect a certain truth about us and about what we believe. We are in the midst of our stewardship campaign right now. And Pastor and I were, Carrie and I were reading the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer and trying to discern what the theme would be for this journey that we would be on together. And the first line of the prayer reads, I am no longer my own, but thine. So it's from that that we came up with our one-liner, our prayer for ourselves, no longer my own, but thine. Now that's a real one-liner. Its power is in the way it speaks to us and the truth about what it means to follow Christ. To surrender all because you know whose you are. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about whose we are. Our culture helps us and tells us that we should study and really be intentional about figuring out who we are. But it says very little about thinking and discerning whose we are. The Wesleyan Covenant Prayer is a plea that asks. It's a prayer that says, in this moment, at this moment, as I say these words, may I please be not my own, but yours. Here's a couple more one-liners that I'm sure you've heard. All churches talk about is money. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I told Verta this morning, at looking at this chart over here, I've been here longer than any other pastor in the history of the church since 1892. I've been up here a lot. And I can tell you that I talk about a lot of things besides money. So I'm going to say that one's not true. The other one is, all churches want is my money. What churches want is your discipleship. See, Jesus understood so well that our lives are tied to the material world. Did you know that of his 38 parables, 17 are about money and possessions? Now, why do you think he felt compelled to talk about that so much? He knew that surrendering our whole selves would be a challenge, one that was constant, an ongoing battle, day in and day out. So we have been given one-liners that will help us reflect when we're in that struggle. Let your light shine before all that they may see your good work and give glory to your God who is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. All who believed were together and had all things in common. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And the greatest commandment of all, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Which, if I may paraphrase, I am no longer my own, but thine. To surrender back to God what is God's for the transformation of the world. And in the process, there is no doubt that we too are transformed. The church is the body of Christ in mission to the world. It is in mission to the world. It has a purpose and a mission. And sometimes we come on Sunday and we sing and we pray and we listen, but we forget that the church's purpose is to be in mission to the whole world. It has a purpose. And I know I feel it when I worship. Do you feel it when you worship? What draws you back here? We enter a missional site every single week when we walk in here. And the question for each of us has to do with how we want to participate in the mission of the church. To truly become a steward. Is that a word that you would even use to describe yourself? I am a steward. It's a word that hardly gets used at all unless you're on a ship. Yeah. Stewards are people who are generous with the things that God has loaned them to build up God's realm. So one of the one-liners that I want you to think about in the next couple weeks is the moving up of one line of your giving. That might be one percentage. It might be going from one amount to another amount. It might be moving up to pledging and making a commitment for the first time in your lives. Something that is going to stretch you towards God, towards the mission of the church. God continues to bless this church. We had 12 people come to the new members class Tuesday night. We continue to grow. You use words like grow and explode. When the kids are here, it sounds like cat herding going on all the time now. It's wonderful. The Holy Spirit is moving amongst us. Do you not feel it? I do. When you enter here, I think if you're still, you will know to whom you belong. You might not know who you are, and you might have to struggle with that the rest of your life, but the question about to whom you belong has already been answered. The church needs disciples. It needs your discipleship. That's why it asks. It asks for you to understand stewardship. Because it needs you to do the mission that God set before us in the world. And it's not easy. It's a little easier than standing in your garage and becoming a car. But it's not a lot easier. But you know what it is? It is joyful. It is joyful to give. It is truly a blessing to be a joyful giver. But if you're concerned about how you're going to do it, how you're going to accomplish that, how you're going to surrender, I'm going to leave you with one more one-liner. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen.